Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them for ever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Father, indeed, how worthy you are of all our praise. As we see in Scripture, the Lamb hanging on the cross, in the stead of ruined sinners, the Lamb dying in victory, that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought close to you, a people close to your heart. Father, this morning, may we lift our eyes. May your Spirit be at work in our hearts, that we might see something of your awe and your glory, and praise you as you deserve. Amen. We're just back from holidays with family. We were down in the southwest, and one of the things that we love doing as a family, going to the beach, and it was a joy this time with the boys, the age there are, to introduce Ben, our eldest, to bodyboarding. It's surfing, but for the less adventurous, is how I think of it. So there you are, you've got your board, you're in your wetsuit because you're sane and it's still England. And as the waves come along, you're trying to, as it were, ride the waves on your board, being swept along by them. And as you're wading out into the Atlantic, and as the waves are coming towards you, you see the wave rising up before you, beginning to froth, coming towards you. And in that moment, you have got a choice. I can either stand there stubbornly with my cheap polystyrene board, bracing myself against the wave, stubbornly hoping it won't move me, or I can turn around and, as it were, go with the wave, riding it into the beach. That picture is a great picture to have in our minds this morning with this passage, because it's a picture of the choice that each and every one of us has this morning. Because in Psalm 148, there are, as it were, two great waves of praise that meet together and come towards us. At the first wave, we're told about in verses 1 to 6, cascades down from the heavens. You see verse 1? Praise the Lord from the heavens. This wave, as it were, cascading down towards us. And then in verses 7 to 14, we get the second wave. This second wave of praise rising up from the earth to meet the first wave. So you see verse 7, that same sort of phrase, only this time, praise the Lord from the earth. You see these two waves of praise, one cascading down from the heavens, the other one rising up from the earth, but meeting together on us. And as these two waves sweep towards us, the question for each one of us is, will we, as it were, turn and ride that wave? Will we join in with the heavens and the earth, praising the Lord? Or actually, will we like that person trying to bodyboard, stand there, stubbornly trying to dig our feet into the sand, holding up our flimsy boards, refusing to praise the Lord with the rest of the universe. Well, let's look at that first wave of praise. It's there in verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Verse 1 begins, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Or as some translations put it, all his heavenly armies. Here is what is going on in heaven right now this morning. All God's armies of angels constantly praising him as they gaze in wonder at his glory and his majesty. Whenever in the Bible the curtain's drawn back and we're given a little glimpse of heaven, what do we find? We find thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s of God's heavenly host praising and adoring him. But this praise isn't confined to heaven. No, we see verse 3. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. A God who made the sun and the moon to govern the day and the night. The one blazes with light, the other reflects light. But both here, joining together to praise their creator. And you see verse 3 and verse 4, not just our sun and moon, but you see it all. All the billions of stars in our galaxy, joining with all the billions of stars in all the other thousands of galaxies, all joining together to praise, to glorify their creator. See, we try and count the stars. We marvel at the universe, while all the time the universe is marveling and praising its creator. Yes, they might not have a voice like we do to praise the Lord as we do, but actually the stars, by their very existence, created out of nothing, by their very size, beauty and complexity, the heavens, well, they inspire us to worship. And as they do that, they're playing their part in praising the Lord, even if they haven't got a voice like ours. And why do all the angels and the stars praise the Lord? Well, we get a reason, verses 5 and 6. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for because at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Find that same theme, that God is worthy of praise because he's the creator. It comes in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible. That verse says this: you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. As I say, that is one of the most important verses in the whole of the Bible, because it reminds us that worship starts with creation, not with salvation. Even if God had not saved us by sending his son to die for us, he would still be worthy of all our worship, indeed all the worship of everyone in the world, indeed the worship of everything in the universe, for he alone is creator. And he alone sustains it moment by moment. Now, why was it important for Old Testament Israel to be reminded of this in this psalm? Well, because they were surrounded by cultures and people that worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars. So if you were an Old Testament believer reading this psalm, the application for you is, don't join with the nations in praising the stars. Don't get swept up in that wave of praise, praising creation. Don't join with them. No, join with the universe. Join with the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies in praising their creator. Well, the application is pretty similar for us. Because as a culture, we are in awe at the universe. You watch a Brian Cox program on TV, and we're encouraged to praise the universe, to praise the laws of physics. We're in awe at the size and the power, the beauty of the universe. And yet Psalm 148 reminds us, no, we should be praising the creator of the universe. If the universe is awe-inspiring, and it is, well, how much more awe-inspiring the one who made it out of nothing, the one who sustains it moment by moment. So it's great to watch astronomy programs. Or I think as Simon was doing last week, as he was, if you were here, he was telling how one time he'd been lying in the middle of the road on the island of Mull looking up at the stars. That's a good thing to do, I think. It is good to gaze up at the sky. It is good to study physics, to understand the vastness of the universe. But don't join the wave of praise in our culture that just praises creation. Don't stop there. No, rather join the praise of the universe that praises the Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth, the one who did not just make things, but the one who governs the laws of physics, the one who wrote them, the one who do his bidding. So if that's the first wave of praise, as it were, cascading down from the heavens towards us, well, the second wave of praise comes up in verse 7 to 14. Praise the Lord from the earth. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures. Or if you've got some of the older translations, they go for great sea monsters. And all the ocean depths. You see verse 7? If we picture this choir being assembled, we're being told even Jaws is part of this choir. Even the great sea creatures and monsters, in inverted commas. Great blue whales, the sharks, they're all lining up with their music, ready to sing their part to praise their creator. Verse 8, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. What an appropriate verse for those of us who are British, isn't it? Because as Brits, we are obsessed with the weather. Let's just own it. We've been back a week from holiday. Various of you I've seen you, you've asked how the holiday was. The first question every single person has asked, and every time somebody asked it this week, I smiled because I was thinking of this verse. See, we are subject to the weather. Yeah? You make your holiday plans by the weather. You check whether you're going to need a coat when you go out to work because of the weather. We are subject to the weather. We have no control over it. But you see verse 8? The weather does his bidding. So as Brits, shouldn't we be a little less obsessed about the weather and a little bit more obsessed about the one who tells the weather what to do? Or verse 9, you mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. You see, at all the great heights that we look up at and wonder at, all the different varieties of plants that feed us, all the different species of food, of animals that we marvel at, they're all in the choir too. They're joining with the angels, the stars, the suns, Jaws, and all the rest of them, coming together to praise their creator. Which again makes it so absurd that in Israel's day, the nations surrounding them in the Old Testament times worshipped idols shaped to look like animals. Again, can you see what the application would be for Old Testament believers? Again, don't join the wave of praise that worships animals or little carvings that look like animals. No, join with the great sea creatures, all the animals, all the heights, all the plants, all the trees. Join with the whole of creation in praising the Lord. Again, though, our situation is not that much different really to theirs, is it? Because we again live in a society that marvels at creation but stops there. So we watch programs like Blue Planet and Blue Planet 2 and no doubt Blue Planet 3, and David Attenborough is on, and we wonder at the diversity, the beauty of the world, and yet the tragedy is we stop there. We praise natural selection or evolution instead of praising the Creator with the rest of creation. Now, I think David Attenborough's got a lovely voice. It's a nice voice. But the problem is, so often his commentary on his programs doesn't help me to praise the Lord. So can I pass on a suggestion that someone gave to me a couple of years ago? And that is, when you watch Blue Planet or whatever it is, watch it on mute. Or better still, get an audio Bible. You can download them for free, Bible Gateway, places like that. And as you watch Blue Planet or whatever it is, whatever the next one's going to be, listen to a psalm being read. Psalm 19 or Psalm 33 or Psalm 148 as an alternative commentary. Again, when the credits roll at the end of the program, don't just switch on to whatever you're going to watch next. Rather stop. Find a Christian song, play some Christian music that again just helps you to praise the Lord for what you've just seen. Again, if you're off somewhere on holiday, or maybe if in the next couple of weeks you're going to go to the wildlife park down the road, go worshipfully. By that I mean enjoy it. Marvel at what you see. Marvel at the wonder, the beauty of what God has made. But don't stop there like everyone else. Join the choir of creation and praise the Lord who made it. Can I suggest, just as an aside, if we're parents, typical thing families might do, might well go to the wildlife park, filling up the school holiday before the kids are off our hands again. Well, think about how planning your trip, not just taking the kids so that they're distracted for a day, but think about how you could go to the wildlife park and use a visit to help you as a family praise the Lord. Because everyone is to praise the Lord. You see that, verses 11 and 12? Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Everyone, whether male or female, young or old, high or low in society, is to praise the Lord. Might think that sounds incredibly arrogant, a thing to say. But the Lord God, the God of the Bible, is the creator of everyone. And so it's not arrogant to say that we should all praise the Lord always. So often today people think that it's arrogant to say that everyone should worship the Lord because, well, we've listened to people like David Attenborough and others who tell us that though the universe is amazing, there's no creator. And so as a society, we tell ourselves that we are the result of evolution, of an impersonal process, a force, a series of somewhat random events. The result of that is that when we think of ourselves, we tell ourselves that we do not owe anyone anything. But the Bible says the first thing we need to know about ourselves is we are creatures. We are made by a personal God. He sustains us moment by moment. We're not random. We're not just the result of an impersonal force or process. No, we're made by a creator. A creator who deserves our praise. And so we're to join with the whole choir that's been assembled in these verses to sing praise to the Lord. And you see the reason, verse 13, the reason we're to praise the Lord, the reason he's worthy, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Again, I think the theme throughout this psalm is, if creation is mind-blowingly vast, if the universe is beyond our comprehension, well, how much more the God who made it? If the scenery that you see on holiday is beautiful, and it is, how much more beautiful the God who purposely formed it? Again, if the complexities and the details of nature is awe-inspiring, how much more awe-inspiring and praiseworthy the God who made it? And yet we don't instinctively praise the Lord, do we? Even as Christians. Our natural sinful response as those waves of praise come towards us is to be like that person with the cheap bodyboard bracing ourselves against the waves. We don't naturally join in and praise as we should. And that picture in verses 11 and 12, the picture of all sorts of different people united together in praise, we don't see that, do we? That's alien to us. More often than not, our world's divided. We long for men and women of all generations, all backgrounds, all nations to be united together. We have that longing for that sort of peace and harmony, whether we're Christians or not. And yet, strive as we might, it doesn't happen. So often there's friction, there's conflict in our families, our marriages, our communities. And the Bible says the reason there's that friction and conflict rather than that harmony and unity is because deep down we all want to be praised. We want the glory and the honor to come to us. And if that's what each one of us is like, well, then there's no way that we will really live in harmony with one another. And the Bible says that all goes back to Eden. Because there, Adam and Eve were made to live in harmony with one another. As together, they joined together to praise, to glorify, to worship the Lord. The problem is they didn't just want to be part of the choir. They wanted the glory and the praise for themselves. And so we know as we read in Genesis 3 how they disobeyed. They ate from the tree God had told them not to eat from. But instead of that bringing them glory and honor, it brought banishment from God and conflict with one another. See, that's the world that we live in. That because by nature we want to seek the praise for ourselves, there's not that harmony. There's not that unity that we long for. And yet here's a second reason to praise the Lord. You see verse 14? Doesn't finish there. Because verse 14, God has raised up a horn of strength, a horn of salvation, a king. A king who will rescue for himself a people, a choir that he will bring together, unite from all backgrounds and nations. A choir that will be formed to praise the Lord as we should. It's what we've been singing about this morning. That on the cross, Jesus Christ dies to pay the penalty for all my self-worship. For all the times that I am about seeking glory and honor and praise rather than giving it to God as I should. Christ comes, he dies for us. He pays for our self-adoration. So that verse 14, what a wonderful picture. We might be the people close to God's heart. What a beautiful picture that is. That instead of banished as we deserve as children of Adam and Eve, we might be adopted into God's family as his children, brought close back to his heart, and with a new heart inside us, with God's Spirit at work in us, empowering us so that together as his people, we might turn from worshipping and praising and seeking glory for ourselves and join with creation to praise and magnify the Lord as we were made to. See, our world longs for real unity. I think you get that in our society at the moment, that sense, that longing for us to be together, to be united, for there to be harmony. Friends, can you see, it can only come as we stop seeking our own glory, stop fighting for our own praise, and instead join together in praising our Creator and our Savior. People often say, don't they, particularly at this time of year when you go away on holiday, they often say that nature brings them close to God. Now, I know in a sense what we mean by that, but it can't really do that in a meaningful way. We were in Cornwall these last few weeks, and we got to go to what is probably my favourite beach in the world. It's called Constantine Bay. And it's this lovely sweeping bay with green sand dunes behind, beautiful shimmering sand, emerald-coloured sea, at least when the sun's shining, as it meets the sky, the waves breaking in. Just beautiful. Stunning. But as beautiful as Constantine Bay is, it cannot pay for my sin and make me one of God's people close to his heart. Only Jesus can do that. And only Jesus can give us that new heart that wants to praise God rather than seeking our own glory. Only with God's Spirit at work in us can the beauty of somewhere like Constantine Bay lead us to truly worship God as he deserves. Without Jesus, actually, no matter how beautiful creation is, we will inevitably not praise God as we should. We will still be seeking our own glory and praise, and so be far off from God. See, as these great waves of praise cascading down from the heavens and rising up from the earth, as they come together, as we hear this whole choir of the universe praising the Lord, as we see not just that he is greater than his creation, but that his salvation is greater than his creation. Friends, we have that question. Will you praise the Lord? Will you join the choir? And that really is what this passage is all about. That's the application. Maybe as you head off on holiday in the next few weeks, maybe if you're going somewhere for the bank holiday weekend, whether you're going to the wildlife park, whether you're watching TV, whether tomorrow morning you'll be going out to work or you'll be at home, will we sing God's praises wherever we go? Because worship, it's not just what we do here. It is what we're to do day in, day out, throughout the week, wherever we are. But as we finish, I do just want us to think about our praise as we gather together on a Sunday morning. Because I think that is an inevitable application of these verses. Will we praise the Lord as we gather together Sunday by Sunday? Now, there might be all sorts of reasons why you might not feel like joining in with the singing on a Sunday. You might not like the style of music. But can I say, if that's the case, remember what we've seen this morning. Worship is not something we do for us. We don't just worship. It's often talked about that, isn't it? We had a good time of worship. I know what's meant by that. We've got to always remember, no, we gather together to take our eyes off ourselves and to join together in praising the Lord. It's about giving him, our Creator and our Saviour, the praise that he deserves. It's all about him, not us. It might be that you don't feel like joining in the singing because you don't feel like you're a great singer. Now, undoubtedly, some of us are better singers than others. But whoever we are, God has given us a voice to use to praise him. Which, if you think about it, is more than most of the things that are mentioned in this psalm, aren't they? I mean, the sun hasn't got a voice. The moon doesn't. The stars don't. Jaws doesn't. And yet they all join together in praising the Lord. Made me think this week, if a mute tree can praise the Lord, then so can all of us, no matter how good our singing voices might be. It might be as well that you don't feel like praising the Lord this morning because life is really tough at the moment. Can I say sensitively and graciously again, please remember, praising God is not about us. It is about him. Did you notice in the psalm there's no mention of how life's going for God's people at this time? For all we know, this psalm could have been written while they were in exile in Babylon and life was terrible. But the fuel, the motivation for praising the Lord always comes from him. It comes from the great, big, unshakable things that he has done. Creation, salvation, the promise of the new creation to come. Those are always there as the motivation and the fuel for our worship. If you stop and think about it this morning, the fact that God has made you, the fact that at this very moment he is sustaining you breath by breath and beat by beat, the fact that he gave his son to die on the cross to bring you close to his heart, those things are all still true, no matter what kind of week or month or year we might be having. And see, here's the thing as we close. Again, at this time of year, we often talk about going on holiday, you know, for a little glimpse of paradise, little taste of heaven on earth. But here's the thing. Here's what I want us to leave us with this morning. Actually, as we gather together like this, men and women, all sorts of different ages, all sorts of different backgrounds, having had all sorts of different weeks, as we come together as one people, taking our eyes off ourselves, fixing our eyes on the Lord, and praising him as he deserves, actually, that is a taste of heaven. Because as we do that, as all sorts of different people come together, not seeking their own glory and their own taste, but seeking just to praise and worship the Lord, that's a taste of heaven. Because that's a glimpse of the future. That's a glimpse of what it will be like in the new creation, when the choir of all God's united, rescued people join together with the perfectly renewed, liberated creation, praising the Lord eternally as he deserves. So as we gather together, but then as we scatter and go about our lives this week, as the praises of the heavens sweep down and as the praise of the earth rise up to meet us, will we join in? Will we be those who fix our eyes on the Lord, take our eyes off ourselves, and live lives and sing the praise that he deserves? Well, let's bow our heads. As the music group comes up, let's pray, and then we're actually going to sing Psalm 148 in a minute. But let's bow our heads and let's pray.